Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall.
Earlier this week, we talked a little bit about boredom, and we're going to talk a little bit more about boredom today.
Every time we talk about boredom,
You feel bored? I learned a new word today, stultification.
That's right. It's in the subtitle.
It is in the subtitle. Boredom is good for you, the surprising benefits of stultification.
This is stultifying. This turn just turns everything off. Just shut down the grid. I'm stultified.
Yeah.
This is interesting. Interesting idea. Boredom is good for you because typically we think of boredom in a negative, a pejorative context. You know, it's boredom is bad for you. Boredom, and
you want to avoid boredom.
Right.
You know, the last thing you want is to be bored.
And in fact, the definition of boredom is it's about this negative state, right?
Right. The adverse experience of wanting but being unable to engage in satisfying activity.
Right. That's a negative.
That's a pretty negative
experience.
Yeah.
Right. And so, for years, I mean, we hear parents, and particularly parents of young children, because young children are active. They're
right.
Active pursuers. Piaget told us that. And they said, well, maybe my child's bored. And parents worry about their kids
right.
being bored. They needn't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the things you can cross off your list.
Mm-hmm.
If your child is bored, it's not your problem.
Right.
Children need to find ways to engage,
right.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
But
appropriately
it's seen,
engage.
That's right. It's
yeah.
seen as, if they're, there are a few things I can think of that would be not as good as boredom.
If they're fighting their boredom by starting fires, that's probably a bad thing.
In the living room.
Bad thing, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So that would be a bad thing. But no, boredom is not a bad thing. What this article is about and what we've been talking about this week is boredom is not a bad thing.
Right.
And one of the reasons, another reason why this topic comes up is because we live in a very rapid, engaging, connected world. In the book, our handbook,
mm-hmm.
In the last section, we talk about love in the
mm-hmm.
last section. And
part three.
One of the things we talk about is we live in this very fast world.
Mm-hmm.
And in one of the earlier editions of the book, you said, if you don't remember dial-up,
right.
The internet seems slow sometimes, you know.
Right.
Or this morning when I get this message of Adobe right. is not responding.
Right.
Oh my gosh, when you get that not responding message, you want to just start throwing
things. The best is when you click on it and it says, it's not responding. Do you want to wait or do you want to quit?
Should we close the program or do you want to wait till it responds?
Let's just wait.
And there was this old cartoon in the old days of computers where there was a skeleton sitting at the
mm-hmm,
desk
mm-hmm.
and the message was the computer or something, the internet been down long or mm-hmm. the thing been down long because you did have to wait
mm-hmm.
several minutes.
Right.
It seemed like a long time.
Right.
But you had written that in one of the earlier versions of the book that microwave popcorn,
right.
it's 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But it seems like an eternity.
Right.
And so in this world of instant, quick, fast, waiting has become something that all of us want to avoid, and we are impatient with it.
You know, I remember, do you remember the Back to the Future series?
The movie.
The
right.
movies. The second one.
You're surprised that I remember?
No, I thought that you would remember that one.
Okay.
In the second one, Back to the Future 2, when he actually goes to the future and he sees his family
right.
in
mm-hmm.
the future. If you remember,
oh,
Grandma
yes.
Brought a Pizza Hut pizza
right.
that had to be rehydrated. Remember? Man, Grandma, you rehydrate pizza the best. And they're saying, and it was like a couple of seconds that it took.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they're like, come on, hurry up.
Right.
You know, we have such a difficult time
right.
with downtime,
mm-hmm.
with time, with waiting. And sometimes waiting can bring about some really important things. And we talked a little bit about that earlier this
right.
week, but we're going to go into a little more detail today.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, that movie was in the late 80s.
Right.
And so right. it's not as though any of this stuff is new. You know, certainly there were video games and stuff like that in the 80s, but you know, it was very different in the right. 80s than it is now, but you know, some of these same complaints were present then.
Oh yeah. And the whole concept of multitasking, you know, I have so much mm-hmm. to do, I can't just do one thing. Right. I need to have several things going. Right behind me, you can't see it on the screen, but right behind me, there's a little thing that says my brain has too many windows, too many tabs open. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do. We have all these tabs open mm-hmm. because you can't. We teach at the university mm-hmm. level, and you can see students wanting to do other things. They want to do two or three things while they're sitting there.
Right.
And so the idea is, if you're not engaged, if you're just waiting, it's really a waste of time. Who likes to wait in a line?
Yeah.
You know, like waiting for a movie ticket mm-hmm. or grocery stores. You know, if I have to wait, if I see two people in front of me, I think, oh, this is going to be an eternity.
You know who's really got this down to a science is our theme parks. Because theme parks will now sell you the fast pass.
And oh, so that's right.
It's more expensive, but you can get the fast pass so you can kind of cut that long line.
Right.
The problem is that a lot of people are buying the fast pass. So now there's a line in the fast pass line. And so now,
okay.
You can go into FastPass, which is supposed to be
but
faster.
But you still have to wait.
But you still have to wait, right. Like, you know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
Right. We'll make people wait for an hour, or we'll sell them, we'll increase the price so they can get in sooner.
Yeah, it will increase the price, and they'll get in maybe half as fast.
They'll cut it down by 30.
Yeah. Right.
So the idea is, though, is that we hate boredom.
Right.
Okay. We worry about our children being bored. When you're talking to somebody, there's these little gaps in mm-hmm. conversation, and that makes you nervous. You know, you have to fill in the gaps. So we've always looked at boredom in a negative way. It's something as something we should avoid at all costs. But what these articles are about this week is there's another side of boredom that we don't often think about and that perhaps we should. And that's what this article is about.
Right. Now, the author begins, and this isn't a very long article.
Right. But For an Atlantic.
Yeah.
Normally they're much longer than this.
He begins by talking about the complexity of boredom. And we did a podcast on what was it, Tuesday of this past week.
Right.
That covered, you know, some of what he's talking about here.
Right.
Those different types of boredom, but I like how he goes on then and talks about some of the behaviors that are associated with boredom, because when people are bored, and this kind of goes back to what we were talking about a few moments ago, the concern is that it is what type of behavior that they will then engage in to break their boredom. And sometimes it's risky behavior. Sometimes it's dangerous behavior.
Setting fire in the living room.
Right.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's, people will go to pretty extreme lengths sometimes to avoid boredom.
Right.
I think that perhaps in part is where we get the whole phenomenon of texting while driving and doing some of those kinds of things, because
I can't just drive. I have to be using this time to do things.
You know?
I should be texting and communicating with other people.
I mean, how many times do you see people reading the newspaper and reading magazines, you know, with the newspaper open in front of the steering wheel while they're driving?
They lay it on the steering wheel.
Right.
After all, you know, I can't just drive. I've got 10 minutes here.
On the interstate all the time on my way to the university.
And that's why we have backups on the interstate. People
are
doing everything else.
Yeah.
But if we go, one of the amusing things about this article is in the first paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
Because it begins with...
I did not know that these things existed.
I didn't.
The International Interdisciplinary Boredom Conference.
Now, I'm sorry, but if I got a message like, would you like to submit an abstract... proposal to this, this is a joke. It's either spam
mm-hmm.
or it's a virus or it's some kind of a joke from one of my colleagues.
This is
a real conference.
And it's held in Warsaw and it's what, 5 or 6 years old now.
And the less scholarly forerunner.
London's boring conference.
I didn't know that this really existed.
This
is a serious area of study.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea that these existed.
Right. Yeah. It's fantastic.
I mean, and they talk, people flock to them about vending machine sounds and other snooze-inducing topics. And it's just a fascinating world that I did not know existed.
Right.
I wouldn't mind going to Warsaw.
Right. That would be nice.
Yeah, but not for that.
Not for the boring conference.
But the interesting part is, you're right, it does come at the end.
Right.
You know, where they talk about the biggest problem with boredom. Boredom itself is not a problem. The problem is boredom can lead to risky behaviors.
Right.
You know, and it makes me think of those kids with oppositional defiant disorder, because we know that children who have oppositional defiant disorder and conduct disorder have under-aroused autonomic nervous systems, and that maybe what they're doing, maybe their, what we call their bad behavior, is simply techniques that they use to increase their arousal. How do you increase arousal? You move around a little bit.
Right.
If I start to get tired, I'll stand up and move around. We think of one of the pediatricians we've worked with here in Central Florida. He always gave the example of the long distance truck driver,
right,
who would get bored driving the truck. And so to increase arousal, you chew gum or you sing or you start talking or doing something.
You had this little device in the middle where you practice arm wrestling.
Right.
In long distance. That was a movie. It's okay. I got you. Over the top. Sylvester Stallone. It's okay. It's a good movie, though. Pretty good movie.
Never a boring moment here in Florida.
I knew I would get you with that one.
I did stop for a moment, didn't I?
You did.
Later on today, I'm going to stop again. I'll be driving down 75. Whoa, wait a minute.
Over the top.
Okay.
Sylvester Stallone. Very nice.
But you increase because boredom is seen as a bad thing, and it can lead to misbehavior in school age children.
Yeah,
because you're under aroused, they get up, they sharpen their pencil, they go to the bathroom, and the teacher starts complaining that they're disengaged, but actually they're doing something good for their nervous system.
Right. Well, and they mention it in this, he mentions it in this article, but there's been a series of studies that have been done putting people in boring situations, I suppose you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, they found that a pretty significant portion of individuals, I think it's about two-thirds of men and a quarter of women, would self-administer shocks, mild shocks, rather than be bored.
Now, you talk about negative.
So you can sit in a room that has nothing. It's just all bare white walls, no sounds, no nothing, and there's just a button sitting there. And you know that if you push the button, it's going to shock you a little bit. 66% of men and 25% of women will still push that button because they cannot stand the boredom.
Because you can't stand boredom. You'll do anything, including hurt yourself, rather than be bored. And I think there's a message in there.
Yeah.
Well, actually, there are two. For me, there are two messages there. One is, the human brain is a stimulus-seeking, it's always seeking activity.
Right.
We face forward. You know, when people fall, they typically fall forward. We're always moving forward. We're always looking for things.
Right.
I mean, that's how we survived for hundreds of thousands of years. The brain is a voracious, always pursuing stimulation.
Right.
Okay, And it would rather shock. It would rather experience pain than the absence of stimulation. And what's the other thing that we know now? Solitary confinement.
Yeah.
People actually become psychotic in solitary confinement because of the lack of stimulation, the intense effects of that kind of imposed solitude.
Right, which is, you know, and I think it's almost as though that's what people fear when they think of sitting quietly for 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly with solitary confinement, it's not pleasant for anyone. But when you're talking about for 23 hours a day for weeks, if not months, you know, that's when you start getting into those issues. Some of these studies about where people were shocking themselves, they were just asked to sit there for 15 minutes.
Right.
You're not going to become psychotic in 15 minutes.
No,
I don't think. But you know, but you might shock yourself, which is.
And it also but that's the way our brains work.
Right.
I mean, they are constantly looking for stimulation. Part of my little brain is thinking about the marshmallow test.
Right.
You know, where kids are sitting in front of this marshmallow for a
couple of minutes. Yeah.
Right. And they just cannot help themselves.
Yeah, that delay of gratification.
Right. And so, The brain does that. It's always seeking stimulation,
right,
which is a good thing. And that part's good. But again, you need to be careful because boredom can lead to negative behaviors.
Right. So what we need to do is we need to cultivate a positive method for using boredom.
Right.
Because boredom, so we're using the word boredom here when we're talking about being in a situation with low or no stimulation.
Right.
All right.
Maybe it's the wrong word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you talk about that, you know, we use the word boredom. Maybe the problem is the word itself that has a connotation.
Mm-hmm. But you got to be careful what other words you use.
Exactly.
Because sometimes, you know, when you think about, you know, exactly what I was just saying, the sort of being in a situation where with little to no external stimulation, and you're going to sit there quietly and contemplate.
Right.
In other circles, that's called meditation. In other circles, that may be called prayer.
That's right.
But it's sort of along the same lines. And so, again, the idea of what we need to do, and maybe even need to teach our kids, is when there's not a whole lot of things to do, and you're looking for something to do, and you can't find anything, there's nothing that you want to do, or you just find yourself sitting in this quiet, all-white room with just a red button that's going to shock you, this is a great time to start engaging in some mental exercises of thinking about things, you know, starting to explore different ideas.
Now, these experiments that they did, the one was the shock, you know, that you would rather shock. The other one was priming. Priming is a technique in psychology. Didn't they say if you're bored, you become more creative and more, they use the word prolific.
Right.
You could produce more things if you're bored.
Right.
So boredom leads to creativity and productivity,
right,
not just creativity, but productivity.
Right.
So boredom isn't necessarily a liability. It's not a disadvantage. It can, in fact, lead to more productivity.
Right.
And that's why you're talking about mindfulness, or not mindfulness, but yoga or meditation is the absence of stimulation.
Right.
So maybe we're not talking about boredom, we're talking about the absence of stimulation, right? And that's probably good for us, whether it comes in, whether it's done on purpose, such as meditation, or whether it's done while you're waiting for the popcorn.
It's imposed.
Just wait for 2 minutes. Use that 2 minutes to get to calm,
right?
Because that will be good for your brain too.
Right. Yeah, so I think, absolutely, there's two strategies for appropriately using these times of boredom, these down times, these times with little to no pleasurable stimulation. So the first thing is use it as a time to relax, finding a center, taking deep breaths, just finding a sense of calm. So when you're sitting there listening to the hum of the microwave, you're taking some deep breaths and just relaxing and pulling some of that energy down to find that calm.
Yeah, this constant state of stimulation, where we
feel the constant need. Well, you said it earlier, the moving forward. We always have to be moving. And so we put the popcorn on for 2 minutes, and then we go and do this, and then we go and do that, and then we go and pick up the popcorn, and then we go and do this, and we drop it off over there, and then we go and sit down and watch the movie while playing on the phone.
You know, we leave here, you and I leave here late in the day. You know, we go out to our two cars, the only ones left in the parking lot. And just as we're leaving, we say, okay, I'll see you in a few hours.
Right.
I mean, because it's like 7 or 7:30. Mm-hmm. Sleep fast. Mm-hmm. You know, every once in a while we say, okay, sleep fast, because we're going to... We even want to sleep fast or sleep less because you can't get anything done when you're sleeping.
Right.
And yet we know about the importance of sleep.
Absolutely.
But we deny ourselves an adequate amount of sleep so that we can stay stimulated, so we can keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in a way, that's almost self-destructive.
Absolutely.
It's like the electric shocks.
Yeah.
We would rather deny ourselves an adequate amount of sleep rather than be idle.
Right. Yeah. So the other approach, another strategy, and again, this is something that we can work to teach our kids, mm-hmm. but we certainly need to apply for ourselves as well, right. is the idea of using these downtimes as an opportunity to explore thoughts and ideas and just think about things. Because what happens, and the reason I think that it triggers and fosters creativity is because when you're sitting quietly, you're not stimulated by anything that you're reading actively, that you're mm-hmm. actively watching or engaging in or talking about or anything like that, but you're just thinking, you start finding paths and connections that you may not have found or think of otherwise. Because as we sit here and talk, you know, I'll say something, it'll give right. you an idea, and then and that's great right. for this type of a setting. But sometimes when I'm just sitting at my desk and mm-hmm. I'm thinking, or when you know you're doing the same, you know, sometimes you'll come to me with an idea that because you were sitting, you know, in the car quietly on your drive or at your desk, you start following this path, and I was thinking about this, and then this made me think of that. And
right.
we would have never made that connection before,
right.
but we did because we're just sitting quietly and thinking.
You know, as I'm sitting here listening to this, wouldn't it be interesting if when a child, let's say a teenager, because it's Saturday morning, you know, 11 o'clock, mm-hmm. or no, it's Saturday afternoon because they sleep until 11 or noon. So it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon and they come in and say, I'm so bored. And if a parent would say, instead of responding to bored, which is, that's a bad thing, instead the parent say, no, this is a calm time.
Right.
Use it. Use yeah. this period of calm to generate
yeah.
activity. Okay.
Right.
You put it in a whole different context.
Right.
Or if I'm bored myself, you know, if yeah. I go home and I'm bored, that would be the time to stop,
mm-hmm.
take a couple of minutes. It doesn't have to be 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. It can just be 2 or 3 minutes to get to calm
mm-hmm.
and start to generate. And you'll feel your brain beginning to generate. Because what you're doing, and we talked about this earlier in the week, you're closing down those pursuing, active, engaging, stimulating parts of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
You're closing those down for a moment, which allows the other productive, creative parts mm-hmm. of your brain
yeah.
to do their work.
Right.
Okay, so you actually do your brain a favor. You
yeah.
know, allow it to calm,
mm-hmm.
so that you can open up those other parts of your brain that
right.
they're also trying to get out.
Yeah.
But we suppress those. We don't want to be bored.
Right.
So we suppress those to remain active.
Right. And we certainly talked about this same idea in other contexts. You know, when we talk right. about you know, if the only television program you watch, television station that you watch is mm-hmm. Fox News or MSNBC,
yeah.
all of your ideas about those political issues are going to be reinforced and pulled in either that left or right direction.
Right, that's right.
When you sit quietly and you just think about things, then you're free to kind of explore some of these ideas on your own without the influence of these other stimuli.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with, you know, with just about everything that we do.
Right.
You know, when we sit here talk,
mm-hmm.
I'm influenced by your thoughts and you're
right.
influenced by my thoughts. Again, that can be a wonderful thing as well. But sometimes we just have to sit quietly. I have this bizarre image in my mind of, you know, you've heard of think tanks.
Right.
In my mind, ever since I was a kid, in my mind, there are these places that have like these all glass tanks
mm-hmm.
where people just kind of sit in there and there's no stimuli. It's just a quiet
right.
place and they just kind of sit in there and they just think.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that's not really how it is,
right.
though that would be really cool. But that to me is what we're talking about. You know, you're just mm-hmm. sitting quietly, no stimulation, but you're just thinking.
Right.
And we would refer to that as bored.
Which is
boredom,
different from sensory deprivation.
Right.
Okay, but
because right.
we know about sensory deprivation,
right.
which
right.
would be an extreme
right.
version.
Right.
Solitary confinement and sensory deprivation
mm-hmm.
are the extreme forms of boredom.
Right.
You know, that's it.
And even some of that isn't mm-hmm. all that bad. I can't remember what it's called, but it's that thing where they they float you in this really salty water.
Right.
That's the same exact temperature as your body.
Right.
And so you're just floating there, and there's no sounds. There's no.
Right.
It's dark, and it's there's so there's no simulation. You're just floating.
Right.
And I've from what I understand, that's they. What I understand is that's a it's a really potentially enlightening experience.
Because you really shut everything down.
Because you're shutting everything down. You're just thinking. Right. And again, it's temporary. You know,
right.
We're not talking about very long, long time.
No.
If you're doing that for days and days, that would be
but
scary.
It does bring up another point that this article brings up too is, and I think that some people may ask this question. So in anticipation of that, there's trait boredom and there's state boredom.
Right.
And I think what I think state boredom is what most of us think of as boredom. I think trait boredom might be something else entirely.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I think if you have trait boredom, there might be some kind of a problem.
It could that could be associated with depression.
Depression,
and those kinds
right,
of things. Right. State boredom meaning that it's just your sort of general state at that particular time.
At 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday, I'm bored because my friends are somewhere else.
Right, right. Trait boredom, however, is it's a general trait of yours, and so it's sort of present in all kinds of settings at different times.
Right.
And
but it's interesting the way they set this up because they have there's trait boredom and there's state boredom, and then there's the five types of boredom.
Right.
But those are really the five types of, I would say, those would be state boredom. Those five.
Right.
They're sort
and they have to do with your emotional reaction to
right.
the boredom.
Right. How you feel about the boredom.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If it's distressing or not distressing.
Right.
So.
But it's a really an interesting little romp through this whole concept of boredom because it's a very different perspective.
Right. Absolutely.
But so, if you're interested, you can go to a conference on this stuff. On
Warsaw.
Boredom conference.
It's in April, so you have to wait till next year.
Man, but, that's so fascinating.
It is. So find ways to positively use your boredom, and
it has changed.
For you.
It has changed my people. We all we're sort of type A's, right?
Yeah.
Would you say
sometimes?
No, you are.
Sometimes.
You are. No, you're not. Not sometimes. You are type A.
I don't know.
You couldn't do this if you weren't.
Okay.
All right. That's a grudging admission. Never mind. I'll save it for another podcast. I was going to be complimentary, but...
Were you? Okay, well,
no,
then
no,
yes.
Mind. No, 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 it's too late.
I wasn't sure where you were going with it.
These kind of marriages,
you know?
Okay, so much for boredom.
Yes. All right, that is it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.
Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.